Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Novel Ideas for March 17th and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yay.
We are discussing Defending Britta Stein by Ronald Balson. And we have a nice crowd. So before we go around, I'll go through the characters. We have, of course, Catherine Lockhart and Liam Taggart, the lawyer and her investigator husband, Britta Stein, the defendant, her granddaughter Emma, Ola Henriksen.
Right. And there was a son or grandson.
His son, I think, was the one helping him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Britta's, as she told her story, we got to know her father and her sister Greta, her mother. I can't think of their names.
That's okay.
And the sister
Lucas.
Her boyfriend, husband, whatever. Right. She ended up marrying him, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty good. There's a lot of characters, Mandy.
Did I miss anybody?
Sterling, the lawyer.
Sterling. Oh, that's right. Thank Sterling. Sherry. How could I forget about 6 o'clock?
Oh, God.
6 o'clock sparks.
Sterling, yeah.
Yeah.
Isabel, the baby. Yeah.
Didn't have much of a part in the book, though.
Yeah. No,
well,
I
know. She was an important link. No speaking parts. She didn't have any speaking parts.
That's true. Well, I guess not.
Is that everybody?
I think you cover the main ones, yeah. Well, the judge, what was the judge's name? I kind of liked him.
He was wonderful. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Wilson. Remember. Obadiah Wilson, I think it was. Obadiah.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to believe anybody that was ever in a Broadway theater part has to be a good guy. So, yeah, there you go.
An opera singer yet.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
There was a nun, too, wasn't there?
Sister Elizabeth.
Yes. Sister something at the hospital.
Elizabeth.
Sister Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was great.
Yep.
She was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they used her as a code word at one point in this story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I guess that's everybody. So we'll just start from the top. Bob?
Oh, no, this because I get in there first. I liked it, but again, I read Once We Were Brothers or whatever. Randy always says I mess up the title of that, but you know what it is.
It was Once We Were Brothers.
Oh, good. I got it right this time. Usually you're saying, no, it's the other way. When are we right? Okay. That was superior, but this is the same thing. I did not realize the Danes were so protective of the Jews that they, you know, they cheered when they came back home. They tried to protect them against Germany. It was very good. And basically, this is a story. She stalls Britta. She's guilty of painting the signs and all that. But she's telling the story to Emma. So, and that's obvious, you guys. But they could carry the legacy of the family that Britta, you know, was not going to make it too much longer, and Emma will carry on as an attorney and know her, family tree. What's going on? So it was good, great courtroom drama. I think it was good. I like Once We Were Once Brothers or whatever better, but that didn't mean I didn't like this one. It was a good choice. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, I very much enjoy this. I like legal based fiction anyway, because I've always enjoyed the legal process, and this book did a good job of delving into all that. And I did not know all that about the Danes during the during World War II. So, you know, Denmark's my new favorite country, because those people stood up and did what was right. And just a really good story. I do have a problem that I mean, I've watched a lot of legal television in my life, and I think the word is pronounced interrogatories, not interrogatories. I don't know why those people couldn't get that right, but they said it about a dozen times in the book, it seemed like, and it was mispronounced every time, but whatever. But I thought the book was really good. I like the characters, but I really enjoyed the legal aspects of it. So thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Is Ruth Ann on the phone?
I'm here.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Ruth Ann. I enjoyed the book very much. I like legal books, and the characterizations were great. What was her name? The Britta Stein was really quite a lady, and she was doing everything her way as she was wanting to do. And but to tell you the truth, I don't remember everything in that book. I've had a stroke during the last a couple of weeks ago. It was on Super Bowl Sunday, of course. And so I frankly was getting to the hospital and was, you know, that sort of thing. I'm much better now.
Well, you sound good, and yeah. You did good. You remembered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty well. So
you sound great, Ruthann.
You
do.
You sound good.
Glad you're
doing
better.
You're here. We're glad you're doing better and that you're here.
Thank you.
So. You read the book, though. I know that.
Yeah.
No, we read it. Before every meal, we read, some of it together.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Nice.
Okay. That's good.
Okay, thanks.
Well done.
That's Deanna?
Okay. Well, it had a lot of interesting characters and a lot of history explained. I knew a little bit about the Swedish. And everybody's heard Schindler's List.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, things like that occurred. I liked the emphasis on the Danes because I knew some people in college who were from Denmark, and they came to visit us. My husband and I, when we were still in college. And so I was interested to hear. What struck me most was the fact that despite having no choice of being occupied, the people maintained their sense of self and their sense of what was right and what was wrong. And it wasn't just the young people, because even the bishop, the head of the Lutheran Church, immediately set things into motion when the Jewish head of the rabbi community, the rabbi and head of the Jewish community, appealed to him for help. Mm-hmm. Immediately sent word out to all the priests to talk to their congregations that Sunday and to help wherever they could. And the people really did. I mean, if it hadn't been for Rosa stopping them in the street when they were trying to slip away from where they had been hiding, when their son-in-law was arrested, they really would not have had any place to go, and they would be so obvious once they got onto a more crowded street, lugging their stuff and the baby and everything and running for it. Because they had no destination. They just knew they had to get out of the storeroom before the Gestapo broke into it. And so that kind of thing. And Sister Elizabeth and how appalled they were, the sisters at the hospital, and how determined they were to fool the Germans into thinking that everybody was contagious. And Britta taking that child who had no adult to accompany her and keeping her with their group until somebody could be found that was related to the little girl once they'd made it to Sweden. All of those things took great courage, because people can get selfish in protecting themselves, but there were so many hands offered to them that, and you know, the sisters were appalled when 80 people were arrested in the attic of their church. You know, that was as far as she was concerned. You know, that churches were not supposed to be invaded by jackbooted thugs who dragged women and children and elderly people and took them away. I mean, the numbers that were saved so outweighed the numbers that were lost.
Yeah, they did that in Eternal, Elisa Scottolini book with the hospital. I love that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it seems like a logical thing if you've got some paranoid Germans who are afraid of disease.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Thanks, Deanna. Jana?
Well, I really, really enjoyed everything about this book. I didn't know. I was very impressed by the part that Denmark played in during World War II. I didn't know anything about the cooperation agreement with Germany that, of course, Germany broke, like they did all their other agreements. And I was very impressed with the fact that they didn't let the Nazis take over the parliament in spite of all of the campaigning they did. But there was one thing that really... one scene that really kind of did impress me, and that was when Catherine said to Britta, "Why didn't you guys leave?" And Britta, of course, got really angry, and she said, "You were not there. You don't understand." And, you know, by the time a lot of people figured out what was going on, it was very hard to get out of the country. Most countries limited the number of Jews they were taking in, and some countries wouldn't take any more at all. So, and it was kind of cool that Sweden was taking Jews from Norway and Denmark. But I thought that scene was interesting because I've heard a lot of people say, well, why didn't they just leave? And, you know, there were a lot of reasons why they didn't just leave. And I think it was one of those times when you just kind of had to be there. So anyway, those are all my comments. I really did enjoy this book. And thank you for recommending it, Randy.
Okay. Thanks. Linda?
Yeah, I was impressed with Denmark as well. But and the other person that impressed me, and I can't think of his name, the guy that had the truck.
Oh.
And he drove them.
Timmy or Tommy?
Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy.
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 Yes, Tommy.
Tommy.
I was impressed that he really helped them, and he wanted so badly to take Lucas, but he wouldn't, he couldn't because he was so sick. And then Greta insisted on being with him, and he felt so bad that she ended up, he didn't insist on taking her too. And he felt really bad about that. And that really struck me too. My heart went out to that poor man. And I just was really struck by the nun, Elizabeth, there, that, and the clever things that they did to you know, say, oh, these people are all sick. And that really, I loved it. I just thought that was great. To keep those Germans afraid like that. That was great. It really was a good book. And yeah, I think you would have had to be there to really understand why these people didn't get out or waited too long.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Liz.
Okay, I loved this book. I gave it a 5. I think the narrator was very skillful in how she portrayed the different characters. For me, it really brought the story alive. I loved Britta. She is such a spunky lady and very calm, but not swayable. And Catherine, I think my favorite scene of the whole book was how she skillfully dissected Ola at the stand and, you know, basically caused him to hoist himself on his own petard, you know?
Yeah.
I loved it. I just thought she was fantastic. But there's just a lot of, I really loved it. I loved the development. I loved the courage. That had to take some pretty strong people to survive that. That's all.
Very good.
Okay. Thanks, Marcia.
I also love the book, and it was great getting the history lesson that was taught here. I had no idea that Denmark was, being in Europe and everything, you know, Germany pretty much took over Europe. But I had no idea what role they played and how much they did love and protect the Jewish people of their country. And as far as the women, Catherine, Britta, and Emma are three of the strongest women around. They were all three of them were wonderful. They all most of the time worked well together. And you're right about when Catherine kind of blew up and said, how come you folks didn't leave? And she says, would you leave your, and Britta says, would you leave your home, your family, your friends, your church, your synagogue to go to somewhere where you don't even know where you're going? You don't know anybody. And I'm like, I don't know that I could have left either. And I also really liked the part when Catherine was just lambasting Ola and having that page in her hand and with boats and that kind of thing on it. And she put it on the defense table or on the defense table. And it was a pictures from a toy catalog. But Ola had no idea what all this stuff was. And Catherine just did a wonderful job. And I couldn't, is Britta going to make it through this? You know, is she going to pass away? What's going to happen? So there was a bit of suspense there, too, as to see what was going to happen with her. So I really did like the book, and I also give it a 5. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Shelley?
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes. Oh,
did you okay. Hey, everyone. Shelley? Sorry, I was a little late. It was at dinner. Randy, first of all, I want to thank you for recommending this book. I can't say enough about it. I don't want to repeat what everybody else said, but I give it a 5. And it was absolutely amazing, well written, and the performance was wonderful. Also, I liked the narration. And like everyone else said, those three women were just so strong. I can't. You know, I didn't know much about World War II. We learned about it in school 30-something years ago, but I really was never a big history buff. You know, I didn't really, was not good in the subject. And, you know, I remember vaguely, you know, discussing the different wars and the different countries, but I didn't know a thing about Denmark. And I thought it was really courageous of them to stay in. Like Mark just said, there was a lot of, there was a little bit of everything in there. There was suspense. There was betrayal. There was just all different kinds of things, you know, all subjects put into one, I thought. And, you know, I thought Britta was very strong, and it really, you know, the whole thing start to finish was excellent. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
I also love this book. This is one of the best books I've read this year, and it grabbed me within the first half hour. And as a matter of fact, when it was getting near the end, I kept checking, and it's like, man, there's only a couple hours left. How are they going to wrap this up? And it was also always fun to have something take place in Chicago. I knew where all the streets they mentioned were and the courthouse and all that kind of stuff. Of course, the bar was fictitious, but I knew the street it was on. So that was fun. And another thing that I really loved was the relationship between Catherine and Liam. That was just so nice and refreshing to see a happy couple who loved each other and treated each other with respect. And that was just so nice, because so many times they throw things in these books where there's some secret or something, betrayal or something like that. This was just really refreshing and nice to see that. And like everyone else, I appreciated the Danish people. I mean, when the Germans went to round up Jews, there weren't very many to be found. I did have one small quibble, and I don't know, I could be wrong about this. Somebody can correct me. But at one point, Greta says something about being in a wheelchair. After all, Franklin Roosevelt's in a wheelchair. I don't think people knew he was in a wheelchair, if I'm not mistaken. He kept hidden. I think he kept that hidden until after he died.
No, he hid it, but they figured some people did know. You know, but well, the press, I don't know, was that gentle. They were easy on him.
Yeah, well,
you know.
In any case, go ahead, Alan. That's what were you going to say?
I was going to say I would have liked to have been there on Rosh Hashanah to watch those Nazi pigs' faces when they thought they were going to round up all these Jews. And to be found. That would have been the highlight of the World War II, because after all the murderous filth they did.
It was just an awesome book, and I'd. Bob already mentioned one of the other books of his, and if anybody else has read any of the other ones, I would like to know if you liked it, because I was going to go download some of his other books. And that's
I read Saving Sophie, and I didn't particularly care for it.
Okay. I didn't care for that one either.
It's good to know.
There was another one, Carolina's Twins. I read that one, and that was very good also.
Oh, I don't remember seeing that one out there, but I'll check for that one.
Okay. I think that might have been... I didn't read that one, but I have seen that title. I think that might have been the next one, but I'm not sure. After Once We Were Brothers.
There were a couple out there with Catherine and Liam in them, mentioned in the annotation.
They were in Carolina's Twins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. This was a great book. I'm so glad you recommended it.
It sure was.
Okay. Thanks. Who's area code 623?
That's Joni.
Joni eating dinner.
Okay. Who was 215?
Sally.
Sally. I finally heard that.
I give it a 5 too, and I did know about the Danes. And what I like so much is that these stories are being kept alive and passed on, because those are the type of things that fall away from the history books that don't get told. My mother was English and was bombed out in World War II during the Blitz. And a lot of what I like to read now are World War II novels, because they keep those memories alive. And I think it's important to do that, because these are the things that don't get in the history books. It's better told in fiction. So I'm really glad you recommended this book. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
You got LaDon, you got Carla Hayes, and I'm not sure about area code 818, who that is.
That was
Ruth Ann. That's Ruth Ann. We're okay.
Oh, okay. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
LaDon's mad.
LaDon.
Okay, yes, I give the book a double A, and it's the best book I've read this year, and one of the better books I've read in the last couple of years. I really like the, I forget her name, the lawyer.
Catherine,
yeah. Catherine and her husband. I liked them when I first met them. They weren't married. They were like sweethearts. And now they're married and they got a child, which is pretty neat. The story, though, is reminds me sort of like romance, because as you're reading it, you know she's going to win that trial. And that isn't the important thing. The important thing is the story that the person that she's defending tells. In every book they've written, and they do it, play it the same way. They come in and the person has to tell their entire story in order for her to get the information she needs. Usually he's sent out to investigate and he comes up with something that will help them, just like he did in this book. And so the important part of this is not the trial, though that's interesting. It's the story that's being told. Mm-hmm. And all of her stories, are all of those stories are written about World War II and the remembrance that people have of it. And it just gets me I forgot what part in the book, but I remember it brought tears to my eyes nearly. I mean, that doesn't usually happen to me with a book, no matter how there it is. But this did, just a situation. I tried to put myself, and I can't, of course. If I lived in Nazi-controlled Germany, I don't know if I'm brave enough person to hide somebody when you know if they catch them, they're going to take you and your family out and kill you for hiding some Jewish. I don't know that I could. It's the amount of courage it took to do that is just amazing to me. But this was a very good book, well written, and the stories were real tight. And the way she defended in court, you always wonder when you get a story about an attorney, you wonder how he's going to win that case, but you know, doubt he does. I haven't read one yet where they lost the case, but anyhow, that isn't the point. The point is the trip from the beginning of the book to the last, and it was narrated excellent. So this was a very, very good choice. I don't think we'll have another choice that good this year, probably. And so that's what I thought about the book. It was just wonderful.
High praise from our most critical critic.
Randy, I think Carla is the last one, I think.
Joni's
here. She was having dinner. She may be back.
Yeah. She's still muted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Carla's here.
Carla, did you read the book? Do you want to comment?
Oh, yes. I read the book. I guess I'm turning out to be the naysayer of the group or something. I wouldn't say it's the best book I ever read. I guess I'm not into courtroom drama as much as you folks are, but I just felt like I was watching court TV for the whole thing.
I love court TV.
Absolutely. I can't stand it. Yeah. I just felt like they were a bunch of, I think there could have been some more character development. I mean, it was like you didn't get a breather. It was just one brief after another. You felt like you were reading, a legal history. And, I guess that was it. But I will say that the things that I liked about it were the history, of course. I did learn a lot that I didn't know about Denmark's involvement in the war. And some of the things they brought in of historical references, like the Wannsee meeting, with the Wannsee meeting. That's when a lot of the Nazi officials met at a resort and they concocted the final solution. That's what they were referring to when they talked about Wannsee that had taken place. And then the other thing was Theresienstadt, which was the village, and what they did is the Germans made this village look like this great place. They beautiful, were, you know, yeah. beautiful
yeah.
And then they fooled the Red Cross and everybody they took there, and they, you know, they had fake schools and they cleaned it up, and it made, you know, they made the children especially perform for the people that came through. And then after the people all left and everything, they murdered them. I mean, the book didn't tell you that, but I guess that wasn't part of the story. But, you know, I thought the narration was really good, and I would have liked to have known a little bit more about their personal lives. I mean, it just seemed like they kept on marching in and out of court, but it just felt like sometimes a bunch of cardboard characters running across the screen on court TV. But, you know, I liked Britta. You know, I really liked her. And I liked Emma, and I liked Catherine. And I wish I'd gotten to know Liam better, but he seemed to do a lot, you know, to help the case and everything. But there's one part that I'm puzzled about. Right before chapter 55, she's given the defense and everything, and all of a sudden it flips over to 55, and you never hear them pronounce that they won the case, you know, that you never hear them, the judge's judgment, if you know what I mean. You never hear what Obadiah Wilson says. It's just like all of a sudden they're, I don't know. I don't know if they were trying to tie it up too quickly at the end of the book or what it was, but did you guys get that impression? Cause I even rewound the digital cartridge a little bit to see if I could hear where they actually stated that, you know, that Britta won the case, and I couldn't find it.
I know she says, Grandma, we won. Yeah,
but that was after the fact when she
right. They didn't get the court ruling in court.
I think it was just obvious.
I think they could have, you know, had the judge make the pronouncement. Okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I
know.
Otherwise, I think it was, you know, they did a good job. You know, it was a bit of a slog, but it was a good book, I guess, but.
They decided they had already covered enough legal details for your liking, so they left that part out.
Randy,
I think you're last. You haven't spoken.
Well, this book pulled me in.
Joni's
here.
Joni's back. Okay.
Oh, okay. Joni, go ahead.
Well, as I think all of you know, you don't. Excuse me. I'm Jewish, so all this World War II stuff is very meaningful to me. I didn't have any relatives that were in the Holocaust, thank God. But I knew some people that were survivors, and gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching, rending, or whatever. And this book, I thought, was so good. One night I stayed up very, very late, and I think I read the last six hours of it. And the day before I had read the first five. I give this book a 5 or even a 6. I like the narrator. I love the writing. I like that it was the way she handled things. And I laughed and I cried for Greta. But she was so loyal to Lucas. When I think of it, I could cry now. The way what they had and how she gave her life to try to save him, poor man. And I read a lot of World War II books. I guess I was 5 when the war ended, but I remember how upset everybody was. And of course, I've read books and looked into the Holocaust thing. And now, there is so much anti-Semitism, and that's part of the problem, even with Roosevelt. Eleanor Roosevelt wanted to let more Jews in, and he told he just decided not to, because there is this undercurrent of anti-Semitism that was there then. Joseph Kennedy was a real anti-Semite, so was his girlfriend, Gloria Swanson. And today it just gets worse and worse and worse. In fact, I was in a group today, and I mentioned that I loved this thing that we have called the Jewish Hour.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably one of the best things in the community. And I was in a group today where, I don't know, maybe it was just my imagination, but when I said I loved the Jewish Hour, and another woman said she did too, that the person that was the host was, I just felt this little feeling of unease. It's so hard today. It's very scary. In fact, in a lot of places, I'm afraid to even say that I'm Jewish, because you never know what the reaction is going to be. Yeah. And I live in Arizona now, as you know. And there are Jews here, but not that many. And like in the place that I live in, I don't really talk about my being Jewish very much. Sometimes I do, but not as much as I did when I lived in New Jersey, where there are a lot more of us. So anyway, that's my rant.
That's good, Johnny.
Today.
Okay.
And thank you. Well, I was really hit
thank
by
you for
this.
Saying that.
Welcome. It is so scary today.
Yeah.
You hear about all these things that are happening to Jews and the whole
blacks.
I don't understand why. Yeah. I just don't get it.
Because
if you enjoy these books, you should read any in this series where she's a lawyer and he's the investigator, her husband. All of them are great.
I think it's a lot of jealousy because and stereotypes. People think if you're Jewish,
Joni,
you have a lot of money.
Joni, yeah. I don't mean to cut you off, but
let's hear Randy.
I'm sorry.
I haven't had a chance to.
I'm sorry, Randy. I talked
yet,
too much.
I'm sure
anyway.
There's. I'm sure there's some people want to discuss
don't.
Stuff. So no, you don't talk
too much.
No, you don't.
Anyway. No.
Randy, you're less.
Yeah. This book pulled me in from the beginning. In fact, I made the mistake of starting to read it around midnight, and I had to get up the next day. And I sent Bob a text and said, "What did I do? What did I do?" As I said, I started reading this book, and we have to do it for novel ideas. But it pulled me in. I didn't know about Denmark. We had never discussed Denmark in history that I remember. So, and it was refreshing to see that there was a country that really stood up and protected the Jews. And when they were in that storeroom, I was holding my breath. I was so afraid that they were going to get caught. And I just really loved it. And at times I wondered if Britta was going to die before the trial ended. And every time 6 o'clock started, I wanted to jump through and just knock them in the next year. I could not stand
that guy. Really?
So, but I loved it. And I tried reading Saving Sophie, but I didn't like it. I might have to look at Carolina's Twins. See if I can find that one.
That's got a shocking scene in it too. Mm-hmm. They're on the way to the concentration camp.
No spoilers.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
Spoilers. No spoilers.
Don't spoil it.
Whoa, one at a time, please. Randy, when you finish, I want to make a comment, please. After
me too.
I'd like to make a comment as well.
Start with Bob.
Thank you.
Bob, you go first.
I want to do it before my senior moment goes away, but I want to ask the group something. Britta was very forgiving of Hendrickson. Remember, she said he was just a go-along guy. Go easy on him. Is that real? To me, I think he was bloody guilty. But am I just being now? And is that her? That's her right to say that. That's her right to say forgive him. But man, that's hard. Thank you.
But well, she didn't. She didn't forgive him. She did.
She said, "Go easy." He was a go-along guy. He was a minor figure. Of course, he was. But he stood and watched the Jews go on those ships, being taken away and everything. I mean,
yeah, I think it was wrong.
I want somebody wiser than I, and there are many, to explain it to me. Is that just what the author put into Britta's forgiving soul?
No. What it was is Britta understood that he was a stupid young man.
Okay.
Who wanted to impress the factory owner where he worked, daughter.
That's right.
And he wanted to be thought important because his father was a laborer. Mm-hmm. He had nothing. So it was hostility towards the Jewish kids because they all worked hard, got good grades, were, you know, mm-hmm. top of classes, and he was kind of a dumb jock.
Right.
And felt unimportant. It's the same kind of mentality that gets drawn into these Aryan nation things. They want to believe that just because they have white skins and blue eyes and blonde hair, that makes them superior to other people. Because they don't have anything else. They don't have education. They don't have skills. They don't have. So what she was saying was she actually felt sorry for him at 92 to be going through this. She thought he deserved it. But she also, the main thing was she wanted her granddaughter to understand where she came from and
Thank you.
Yeah, so she wasn't really persecuting him per se. What she was mad about was him getting an award as a hero when she knew he wasn't.
So she was going after Nazism. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a symbol even at 92 of anti-Semitism.
Right. You can understand why somebody is the way they are, but still not forgive them for it.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Maybe I'm there.
And she did think he was a young, stupid boy, just like she said. And at that point, it looked like Germany was going to rule everything, and he was trying to get on the right
side. On top. Yeah, on the top. And the thing that I thought was the most touching to me was when they came home, their home was clean. Everything was in its place.
The dinner table
had been set. So many times when the Jews were taken off to concentration camps, their neighbors stole everything that wasn't nailed down. There was no compassion, no concern. It was like, let's grab what we can get.
The Germans would have come in and just taken over the house
so many beautiful things that had been cherished and loved disappeared
Wouldn't you like to be at that dinner party that they must have had after they returned, and she went back to the lady that saved him, put him up in her room when they was walking on the street.
Yeah.
And she said, well, okay, when we come back, we'll have this dinner.
Yes.
And you know, that's not in the book, but I think I would like to be at that dinner party.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think Alan had a comment right behind me, Randy.
Yeah, Alan.
Go ahead, Liz. Ladies first, Liz, go ahead.
Oh, man. Oh, that's great.
Oh, okay. Man.
What a gentleman.
I think the only thing that I found just a mildly bit disappointing in the book is I would like to have heard at least a small episode on actually what happened to Ola.
I agree.
Well, he wasn't on trial. He was just
Was he shamed in the town? Did he get the award? I doubt it.
Yeah, what happened to the restaurant?
What about the restaurant? Did people stop going? America respond to it? That's all I
want. Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would have been fun to read too.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to agree with what the comment Sherry made about Liam and Catherine's relationship. I really like that scene when Britta called him Mr. Lockhart, and he caught him by surprise.
Oh yeah.
He was totally relaxed by Mr. Lockhart. They had a good relationship.
And said, my name's Taggart.
I hated that Sterling Sparks. Flash and no substance. Yeah. I cannot stand that man. Yeah.
But you know, at the end, he kind of sort of redeemed himself.
No, he did. He didn't redeem nothing. No, he got his ass handed to him.
Well,
he
complimented Catherine and Emma as, they
were the better lawyers.
Lawyers, yes.
Right. Oh, Sterling, yes, he did at the end. Yeah.
But I still think he was a jerk.
I can't stand him. Yeah. I don't
know. Yeah. Me too.
I know it.
And I liked Emma, her granddaughter. She seemed like she was going to be a great lawyer. And
I like Walter. I like Walter at the beginning. Catherine had worked for
me too.
I can't do it. You have to do it.
Because my firm is Ola's firm.
Yeah.
And somebody mentioned character development, she did a good job of developing Walter in a short amount of time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes.
He really knew him.
He was a good guy. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy, sorry.
So I have a question that once we were brothers, is this in this same vein?
It was really good.
I knew it was. And Marcia, the reader is superior with Once We Were Brothers.
I mean superior.
It was the commercial. I think Once We Were Brothers, the one on Bard. I don't remember if that's the commercial version.
We read it, didn't we, Randy, in a club?
I had read it twice. I read it on Bookshare and then Audible because the reader was so much better on Audible.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't remember if Bard has the commercial version or if somebody else reads it.
I don't remember.
I can get it from Audible too.
Where are we going next, Randy, in our future here?
Well, I know we had talked about doing The Measure in April, but I want to throw something else out. And if we do this, I would like to do it in April because to me, it loses something if we don't. And then we can do The Measure in May. I would really like us to read Judy Heumann's memoir, Being Human.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Even though it isn't a novel.
But we did Becoming
about Michelle Obama. Once in a while we do that.
Yeah,
I feel
this is very appropriate for us to read because she was such a mover and shaker. And if you heard her speak at the ACB banquet last summer, she was fantastic. And I was fortunate to hear her live when I was at a conference not long after I started my first job. And I was in the same room with Justin Dart and Judy Heumann, and they were both speakers at that conference. And to me, a 20-something rookie, that was
totally awe-inspiring. And I have always greatly admired Judy. And for me, March 5th was a very sad day. So I would really like us to read this book in her honor.
Well, I certainly support it. We don't have many civil rights leaders like Judy Heumann for our side, for disabled people. And she was it. She's a wonderful person.
Yeah.
We can do that and then read Measure in May. Or May. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it.
I planned on reading it. I have it downloaded, you know, on my new Victor Stream 3, and it's there to read. So thanks, Randy. I'm glad you're doing this.
Well, what's the DB number?
So what do you think
I believe it's 100399. It's the commercial version. H-U-W-M-A-N-N.
Alan's probably looking it up, being human.
If you have Netflix,
I highly recommend. Jaws plays mute.
Alan.
Somebody, Alan can do it. I don't care. He's a great guy. Netflix with Crip.
How you rate Alan?
if you want me to give you the confirm of the book number, I have to get it from Jaws. So sorry about that, Bob.
If you have Netflix, I highly recommend that you watch the documentary Crip Camp. Okay. It's as in crippled camp.
Yep.
It's really neat. And it's Judy Heumann. What they did was these kids, when they were younger, Judy Heumann and several other people they created this camp. Somebody created it, and all these kids went to this camp, and Judy Heumann was one of them. Mm-hmm. She was a camper and a counselor, and somebody did. Somebody did home movies and videos while this camp was going on. And
what's the background? Mute, please, people.
Mute, please.
Somebody's talking on the phone. Marcia's talking on the phone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't have time to mute. And
what they did was somebody did videos and home movies of this camp and these kids, young people talking about what they thought their futures would be like. And it's described so you know everything that's happening. And then the end is really neat. It shows the sit-in. It shows Judy as a young person. And it was really funny because as I was watching that, I watched it a few times. It came out in 20, and that's when she really got into the limelight because of this book and that movie, that documentary. And I was listening to her, and she was in her 20s, and I'm listening thinking, wow, that could have been the reader of her book, because there was just a similarity there to me in the voice. I could just, if Judy had any say in who read it, and sometimes you hear about people having a say, they get to pick their readers, and it's a really good docuseries. So if you have Netflix, I highly recommend you watch it.
Randy, I apologize for the interruption, but I also wanted to say before our state convention, MCBVI ACB convention last year, we showed Crip Camp. And I had never heard of Judy Heumann before in my life, but it's a great movie. In fact, I think I'm going to watch it again since I didn't know it was on Netflix, but I think I will watch it again.
And I watched it before, and then I watched it when I found out she had died. I pulled it up and watched
Couple points.
Is Netflix the only place you can get it?
No, there's another place.
Where else?
If anybody has Saronet with the discard TVS movies and TV series, it's on there too.
A couple of points quickly, since we're on this subject. It might be hard to do when we discuss the book. They had in 76, Jimmy Carter through 1976, the conference on the handicapped. And it was a bunch of baloney. It was just they just put it on. They've government ran it and felt good. Well, they had downstairs the alternative a conference on the handicap, and you can guess where Judy Heumann was downstairs with us. And it did. We wrote a minority report, but you know what did the president says? Okay, but I did my duty. I had the conference on the handicap. Secondly, Ed Roberts, who Judy worked for in San Francisco, Ed was the first disabled director of the Department of Rehabilitation of the country. Sadly, Ed was not popular with the blind. He declared us the enemy, the Rolls Royce of the handicapped, and said, we're going to roll over you. Yeah. Judy did not say that. Ed Roberts.
Yeah. I have a question. Who is Judy Heumann? I've never heard of her until now.
Read the book and you'll find out.
Read the book, you'll find out.
Talking about it. She's a civil rights leader for disabled people.
Oh, I don't know if it's available there, but you might check Audio Vault for the movie too.
They shut down that gym, you know, the Dreams, whatever it is. So how do you get to Audio Vault now?
Randy, may I officially... Did we get a DB number on this book?
Okay, Alan.
Did Alan get it?
Yeah, I got it. 100399. You were right.
Thank you, Alan. 100399.
Thank you.
If you look up under her name, on the spelling of her name, it's going to be under Heumann, comma Judith, not Judy. So not Judy. You won't find it if you search Judy. So. Okay. But you got the book number.
I've got it.
It's audiovault.net.
Okay, Randy, I'm gonna cut it. You guys can talk all night. Thank you.
And then maybe the next.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
Audiovault.net.